You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Well, it's good to be with you. My family and I are here visiting from Charlotte, North Carolina, where this is typical kind of weather for us, 60 degrees outside in December. Matter of fact, we plant flowers this time of year. I don't know about you. That's one of the hardest things it was to get used to living in the South. What in the world is going on when it's supposed to be winter? How in the world are flowers and pretty things coming up out of the ground? Just wasn't something I was used to living here for almost half of my life. Some of you have known me my entire life. Would you realize that this year I turned 50? I don't know how that makes you feel, Darlene. Sandy? Bob? But they took care of me in the nursery. They were my Sunday school teachers growing up and running these very same halls. And, well, I guess you don't have halls so much. Stairs. We ran stairs. I split my head open, my chin open on several sharp items down in the basement, running around having a good time. But what a joy to come back. I was just mentioning to Rachel and Jim in the fellowship time how good it is that there is a lighthouse still shining here in the city. It's not easy here in the city for anybody. But you're here, and this church is here, and the light's still burning. And every time you walk through those back doors, you vote to keep the light on. And the light that is more important than these is the light of the message that changes lives, the gospel message that changes lives. You're going to hear that, and you have been hearing that for a long time here in the city. And I pray that God would continue to bless his work here, because it's his work. It's not Daryl's work. It's not Brother Don's work. It's not my dad's work and all the guys before them. It's God's work. This is God's work. And he's about to do something special in each and every one of our lives. I'm glad you're here today. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Jonah chapter 4. Now, I asked Daryl's permission to preach from this book because I think he took you through this story a couple of years ago. And so those of you that are copious note takers, I hope I'm not making you write over your notes from the previous times that you had with Daryl. But chapter 4 is where I'd like to go, and that's kind of the end of the story, and try to help us all recognize something that's really crucial. Daryl mentioned the title being Anger with God's Plan. And there's a reason for that, because we find in the very first four verses of Jonah chapter 4, an interesting response, or this very response that I have entitled the message, coming from God's man. And I want to take some time to help us really identify with Jonah, because before we run to criticize him, before we run to be negative in our thinking toward him and to say, well, you should have or you shouldn't have, I'd like to put his sandals on. And I'd like you to do the same thing. I'd like you to step into the garments that Jonah wore. I'd like you to examine your life through the prism of God's word in this particular man's existence and see how that, you know what? The truth that is there for Jonah is the truth that is there for Rob Dalton. And I want you to substitute your name where Rob Dalton's name is too. Because that's what is going to make a difference in your life. God's truth. Not my truth. Not what I say. It won't be anything special. But anything that comes from God, from his word, that's what's going to make a difference in your life. That's what's going to change you and me too. So anger with God's plan. Let me just pray and ask the Lord to help before we get any further. Father, I thank you for the reminder in song that we have heard of today and that we have participated in, the truths that still ring in our ears, most recently, that we stand in Christ. We come to you because of Christ. We don't come to you because of how good we've been this week and we've finally earned the right to to have an audience with you. Lord, we come to you because Christ washed our sins away. And Christ gives us access to the throne room of heaven. And each and every one of us who's seated here in this room today, who knows you personally, we're your children. And we have been welcomed to come boldly before the throne of grace, to find mercy, to find help, to find strength in time of need. And I pray that that would be the case for each and every one of us today. Thank you for truth. Help us to see it today. May your Spirit speak, and may we be willing to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. I think if we're honest with ourselves and we look into the circumstances that each one of us is going through, we would be able to admit that there are times in our lives where we're not happy with the plan that God has for us. I think if we're honest, okay, and that's what I'm looking for today, and please don't feel like you're indicting yourself if you smile when I say something like that or you nod your head or something. I'm not going to come after you after the service and try to counsel you or anything like that. But let's be honest with one another. Let's be honest with God, with His Word. There are times that things that everything that we have done, every activity, every use of the skills, the talents, the gifts, the abilities that God has given us has absolutely left us pounding our head against the wall. It ain't working. That's the picture. God has a different plan, and I don't like it. I'm not happy with it. Maybe you're sitting out here still this morning, and you're saying, well, Rob, I can't really identify with what you're saying, so let me help you with some specific things. Have you, in your marriage, experienced a miscarriage? That wasn't the plan. That wasn't what you had in mind. That's not what you saw God gifting you with. Have you experienced the loss of a job? Your career was going fine. You were hitting all the numbers. You were being commended and recognized and awarded for great performance. And you get the news, your job's been outsourced. We're moving in a different direction. Everything that you have done was good, commendable. So why this? You have somebody very close to you die. There was no warning. There was no indication that there was trouble. They're just gone. And you didn't have the chance to blank. God, why? God, I'm not happy with this. God, I'm angry with you. You have a chronic illness. You have something that physically you've been dealing with for years. You've been to the specialists. You've been, you've read the books. You've been checked again and again and again. You've had the tests run. There's no answer. You must live with this. God. Am I, and again, you're not indicting yourself, but am I getting close to getting a full room of agreement that there are times in life when God's plan is not something I'm happy with? When God's plan is something I'm downright angry with Him about. I was in Arizona a few months ago visiting with a family that has supported the ministry that I serve with, She was sharing that God had recently allowed her husband to die completely out of the blue, completely unexpected. Here she is in Arizona trying to care for her father who's in his 80s on the East Coast. He's got issues to deal with. She's trying to wrestle with all of that. And my husband has left me with all of this. He is somebody I just get mad at. In her grief, where else do I turn? Why did he do this to me? Of course, I'm sure her husband wished he was still there. I mean, if it was up to him, he wouldn't have left. It wasn't his call. It was God's. And I say that to simply say there are not only people here in Chicago that can say, yeah, I identify with what you're saying, Rob. There's people out in the West Coast that can identify. There's people where we live in Charlotte that can identify. God's people are not above going through the valley. God's people are not above being removed from a life of comfort and ease, a life that feels good, circumstances that are always pleasing and beneficial and what we would call good. Can you imagine what it would have been like for the early church in the New Testament? How they would come to grips with God saving Paul. If you know anything about the life of Paul, the apostle, we know him as one who God greatly used to write most of the New Testament. But do you know what his life was like prior to writing most of the New Testament? He went around hunting people like you and me to torture you, to imprison you, to kill you. He hated God's people. And God reached down from heaven and saved him. The message is not about his life, but now God is having him go around and spread the message of the gospel to the very churches he persecuted. What? Paul's coming to preach in our church? I hope that wasn't your response when you heard I'd be preaching here today. But no, he's coming. I don't know if I should take my children and go home because I don't know this guy. I don't trust this guy. And there's no question he had a lot of overcoming to do because of his past. No question. There had to be a lot of grace extended from the believers till they got to the point of recognizing this man is different. He's changed. But the reason I bring this up is because that was God's plan for his church. For that individual man. And it involved some people coming to the recognition that God's plan, though I don't like it. Can you imagine being a wife of one that Paul had put to death? And being in that church when he comes to speak. Can you imagine going through that, ladies? He killed my husband. What right does he have to come and tell me anything? I can't wait to see him dangle. Yeah, it's huge. Hey, Rob, this is Christmas time. Supposed to be kind of feeling good today. The point is this. You and I are no different. And maybe even at this time, I don't know. Maybe this Christmas season, you have come into contact with some of God's plan for your life. And you are just struggling with it. I don't know. That's one of the blessings of not knowing the crowd you're speaking to. You can't take it personally from me. And Daryl and I have just been having fun. We haven't been talking business at all. So I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know. But if you're typical people, and you are, you're born into trouble just like I am. You go through difficulty just like I do. And the timing doesn't get to be something that you pick. It comes, and you have to work through that. You have to respond in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And I'll be the first to say, I don't do that real good. I don't respond to God's plan in the best way. Paul said of himself in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle. I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. God has a big plan. And you and I are not always in on the planning stages of that plan. It's revealed to us, it's exposed to us, and we must learn to, rather than run from what we cannot control, to say, God, what are you doing in the midst of this? Embrace it. He's at work for your good. He's doing a good thing through that thing that makes no sense. Keep trusting Him. Keep looking to Him. Keep serving Him. Keep the light on. Can you imagine Jonah? How have we gotten to this place in chapter 4? What has he been through so far? Well, in Jonah chapter 1, God assigns him to go to Nineveh and preach judgment to a people who have been heinous in their behavior. They've been wicked. They've been wretched. They have been scary in the way that they deal with people. These are the kind of people, the Assyrian people were the kinds that would take their enemies and literally dismember them and stack their body parts outside the city to warn those who maybe are walking by, don't mess with us, we mean business. Now God has told Jonah, go tell them the good news or I'm going to destroy them. Wait a minute, Assyria needs to be wiped out, Nineveh needs to be wiped out, get rid of these people. This is garbage. Maybe how some of you feel about those who are cutting off the heads of believers in other parts of the world today. Wrap your brain around that. Doesn't that makes my blood boil when I hear of that happening. But Jesus died for that man who's wielding the knife, removing the head from that believer. He died for that one. They're blind. They cannot see. They don't know. And God's plan for that one is that He is not willing that they should perish, but that they should come to repentance. That's His plan. And you and I wrestle with that. We're human. We don't think like He thinks. We have to work through those kinds of things. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Tell them that if they don't repent, I'm going to destroy them. That was tough. Jonah's response was probably similar to yours and mine, right? Okay, I'll go. No! Bam! Ran the other way. I'm out of here. I'm gone. Jonah's struggle was, though, and it's an interesting thing, if you go through those four little chapters of Jonah, and you see this, there are about four different times where God prepared a great wind. God prepared a fish. God prepared a gourd. God prepared a worm. The word there behind the preparation is an appointment. He appointed this wind to nearly ruin that boat. He appointed that great fish. Can you imagine that fish like some of the ones that we would go for in the McKinley Park Lagoon years ago? You know, I don't know. They didn't get real big. But your assignment now is to go eat Jonah. How'd that happen? I don't know. I wasn't there. But it happened. Your assignment, you have been appointed by God. Your job, McKinley Park Lagoon fish, is to consume Jonah. And it did. God appointed this gourd, this quick-growing plant to come up in the middle overnight and provide shelter. It was the appointment for that specific part of the creation. The appointment for that little worm was to destroy that plant. God had a plan for each and every part of His creation, and the creation followed the plan. So Jonah works through in chapter 1, deals with, wrestles with, experiences God's appointment in various ways. And in chapter 2, we find him seeing the error of his ways from the belly of that McKinley Park Lagoon minnow and crying out in humility and contrition and recognizing he is messed up. And in chapter 3, Nineveh hears the message and they're terrified. They throw themselves on the mercy of God. And in chapter 3 and verse 10, my wife will just answer those messages for me. I just had to call her out a little bit there. That gets her some friends, so that's okay. Isn't that what Dad used to say about Mom? He'd say something, he'd recognize something about her, and then he'd say, I'm just getting you some more friends. And he'd move on. So I'll do the same thing. Hopefully that works when I get home. We'll find out.
But God saw their works, the works of the Ninevites, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God's mind was changed. His decision to destroy turned to one of, I now forgive. And Jonah gets that message, and here we are in chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. So take a moment and look at that with me. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Notice the Lord's response. Doest thou well to be angry? Jonah is looking at the situation and saying, see, I told you so. I knew that if you extended mercy and forgiveness to them, they'd respond. They'd accept the message. I knew that would happen, and that's why I didn't want to go there. I want them destroyed. Wait a minute, Jonah, what are you saying? Do you see that? God, I don't want your plan for Nineveh. I want my plan. I'm not happy. We may not be in the exact same situation as the preacher Jonah was, but we do find ourselves very similarly in the circumstances that God dictates for us, angry with God. And let me quickly say that it's okay to be angry. There are times to be angry. The Bible says so. Be ye angry and sin not. So anger with sin is something that's okay. We ought to be angry with the wickedness of those who would say it's okay for me to take the life of someone else, regardless of that, if that person is a terrorist or if that person is a highly educated doctor in some facility saying that this young unborn child doesn't need to live. They're not really a person anyway. It's wrong. It's sin. It's okay to be angry with sin. It's not okay to be wrong, to be angry with the sinner. Big difference. God hates sin. God loves sinners. And you and I, in all of our righteousnesses, which according to Isaiah are as filthy rags, all my righteousnesses just like filthy rags. All of my goodnesses, all of the things that characterize me as a good man living today don't cover the wickedness of my own heart, my deceitful heart, my sinful practices that nailed Jesus Christ to the tree. They're just as wicked as that murderer. My sins. Your sins. Sin is sin. So, in case you're wondering about the very emotion of anger, being angry is something that is acceptable in the right situation. And that situation is, I hate that which God hates. I'm angry with those who promote iniquity, the promotion of iniquity. My heart is broken for those who are driving that. I want to see them saved. I want to see them turned. When I get angry with the plan that God has for my life, I am revealing that I don't have the same heart as God. My heart is different than his. My sin is no different than the sins of the Ninevites. My sin is no different than the people that I work with, than the spouse that I live with or maybe don't live with, the neighbor. you realize that that sinner that maybe you're really upset with, if they are beyond the grace of God, so are you. Because sinners are sinners. God's grace is big enough for every sinner. So I just want to observe with you that God's man was angry with God's plan. But in the second observation is that in addition to being angry with God's plan, this is in spite of the fact that God's man knew the character of God. We spent time before the service going through Psalm 145 and looking at the character of God laid out there in that psalm. And I appreciated that exercise. It wasn't part of my plan, but I'm not angry with you. But God's man knew the character of God. In verse 2 of chapter 4, I knew that thou art what? Gracious. Jonah knew that God would hear the cry of those who were vexed. When the truth hit the ears of the Ninevites, they recognized their situation and they repented. Do you realize, as you study that story out, they even had their animals go through mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Their horses, they kind of messed with the tails and the manes, and they were they didn't want anybody to come across as anything but, God, we need you to be merciful here. Jonah knew that God was gracious. Jonah knew that God was merciful. He knew that God would have compassion. He knew that God is slow to anger. He's long-suffering. He knew that God is of great kindness. He condescends to the needs of his creation. God is one, and Jonah knew this, that repents or turns from evil. Jonah was at the point where he viewed the character of God as a bad thing. Have you ever been there? I'm sure if I were able to, and I won't do this, but if I were able to sit down with each one of you one-on-one and just say, is God holy? You'd say, yeah, I believe that. Is God pure? Yeah. Is God fair? Yeah. Yeah, I believe that. I mean, we would quickly respond to the character of God the way good Christians respond. We wouldn't have any struggle with that. We know what the Bible says. But then, when something like the events that I've suggested earlier in the message, when they happen, when something close to my heart happens, when something close to my circumstances happens, I change my thinking. And I begin to view God as someone he is not. And I take his very nature, his very character, and I view it as a bad thing. We don't have the time to go through all of the circumstances that you have been through that would constitute what you're mad with God about. Those things need to be worked through, okay? They do. You have to come to a point of resolution in your own mind with what God has done in your life by what he has allowed to happen to you. You have to work that out. You can't just coat it over with something. You can't just turn your back on it. You can't just run away from it. God has appointed this to you and to your life and to your circumstances for your good. You must embrace. You must navigate. You must go through that circumstance with him and allow him to open the eyes of your understanding. God's man knew the character of God and viewed it as an evil thing. May the Lord help us not to go there. But the final observation is that God's man experienced the long-suffering nature of the Lord. And we see that in the question that God asks of Jonah in verse number 4. Doest thou well to be angry? You know, when you talk with somebody about a difficult thing, and it might be a parent with a child, it might be between spouses, it might be between coworkers, it might be in other personal relationships that you have, it's a good thing to always remember that questions stir the conscience. Accusations harden the will. Questions stir the conscience. God says to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? He didn't say, you're wrong to be angry. He asked him, are you right to be angry? And he didn't answer it. When you are working through what God has allowed for you, ask yourself some questions. Allow others, maybe somebody that you're trying to be accountable with, maybe somebody that you're counseling with, allow them to ask questions that stir your conscience to get to the root of the unbelief or whatever it is that's causing you to be angry with God's plan for your life. But be reminded that God could at any time, and he does have the right, he's holy, we are his creation, he could just go, and we're done. But he doesn't do that. Jonah, I'm done with you. No. Do you well to be angry? We see his long-suffering nature. And let's just remember this, which Jonah is the wrong example of early in the story. Let's remind ourselves to run to God rather than from God. We run from what he has allowed that we don't agree with. We run away. We try to avoid. We try to get out from under it. We try to resolve in different ways rather than say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't get it. I don't like it. You know, it's okay to talk to God like that. You ever read the Psalms much? You see how David pours out his emotions, pours out his heart, pours, God, what are you doing? God, how long will you wait? God, have you forgotten me? It's good to talk to God with what's on your heart. Get it out. He can handle that. And then you come back around with truth and you remind yourself of what you know about your God. You go back to the character of God, which you already know. You know enough. As Christians in 2019, you know enough about your God to make it through the difficulty you're experiencing right now. He's big enough. Now you need to learn more, but it's okay, so do I. But you have enough right now to make it. Be the kind of person who recognizes your anger toward God's plan is the wrong response. God's desire is to grow me through it. God's desire is to reach the lost through a very difficult situation. How will he use you in 2020 with the light that you have in your heart as it shines through your life, as it shines through your ministry, as it shines through your circumstances? You know what? It's easy to be a bright light when everything feels good, when you don't have any aches and pains. When the account, the bank account is nice and fat and happy. When all of your kids rise up and call you blessed, mama. When you have no flat tires, when you have the car you want, when you have this and that and the other thing, it's easy to be a Christian. It's not real. When things stink, that's when the real me comes out. And oh, that God would give us the grace. It's available. Oh, that we would take his grace and allow him to shine through us in the difficult times, the things that we're upset about, that he's allowed, the loss of the job. Have you praised him for that in front of somebody else? The loss of somebody you love? Have you been able to focus on what God is doing anyway? Have you glorified him in your tribulation? Or are you nurturing your bitter, wounded, angry heart? May the Lord help us. We all need that. We're all going through things. If not, you haven't lived long enough. You will. And 2020 might be your year. But may God give you the help that you need. It's there. It's available. I assure you of that. And I hope today is a help along those lines. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for reminding us of so many good things from the life of this man, reminding us of who you are and how you are not changing. Thy faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Your compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And Lord, we pray that we as a people would please you, that as you observe us and as you see us interacting in the midst of our burdens and stresses, you would be happy. You would be pleased. Most importantly, you'd be glorified. Bless your people. Encourage today. Change us where we have gone astray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.